Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Air Force One rolled to a stop in Tokyo this morning for next week's Seven-Nation Economic Summit. Gary Schuster was there.
President Reagan arrived at Tokyo's Haneda Airport amid tight Japanese security. There was no official greeting ceremony. The president waved the cameras as he deplaned and headed by motorcade for his downtown hotel. The president flew to Tokyo alone. Mrs. Reagan took a side trip to Thailand and Malaysia to discuss drug abuse programs. She'll rejoin the president Monday in Tokyo.
This is Terrence Smith in Tokyo. The heart of this huge city has been converted into an armed camp. Some 30,000 police are deployed in the streets. Frogmen are scouring the moat around the Imperial Palace, and helicopters are circling overhead. Thanks to the American confrontation with Libya and the recent attacks by leftist groups here, terrorism is as much a subject at this summit as economics. But in typical Japanese style, it is all being done with courtesy and precision. The government wants this summit to go well because it's being seen here as a symbol of Japan's status as an emerging superstate. The schedule of the seven leaders has been planned down to the last moment, in part to prevent any of the Japan bashing that's been heard in Washington lately. Nonetheless, the United States is expected to press Japan to reduce its huge trade surpluses. All that comes Sunday, when the formal talks begin. Terrence Smith, CBS News at the Economic Summit in Tokyo.
It's now been a week since the Soviet nuclear reactor at Chernobyl began running amok, and the consequences of the ensuing disaster remain unclear. A Western diplomat in Moscow said today the Soviets have shut down all other graphite-type reactors, of which they have about 16, while they figure out what went wrong. The diplomat, also called silly, reports that the Chernobyl graphite fire had been smothered by wet sand dumped from helicopters, saying that might douse the fire but would force the meltdown into the ground. Wyatt Andrews has more from Moscow.
While the Soviets remain relatively tight-lipped at home, the Soviet effort to provide more information internationally has begun with the calling of ambassadors to the Soviet Foreign Ministry. The British ambassador was specifically told that no foreigners are among the casualties at Chernobyl, but was given no information about the radiation levels still coming from the site of the accident. Radiation checks performed in Moscow and London yesterday confirmed that American and British students studying in Kiev had been exposed to levels of radiation that are abnormal, but not believed to be health-threatening. However, that was the first confirmation that increased atmospheric radiation is reaching to the south in the Ukraine. And Western embassies in Moscow, including the American, Swedish, and British, are moving to bring in special equipment to test the level of contamination, if any, here in the Soviet capital. Preliminary tests done by the British indicate Moscow's air is normal, although a spokesman said the tests need analysis in London. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Moscow.
The Navy now confirms that in the past month, two U.S. nuclear-powered submarines ran aground in waters off Europe. But a spokesman says there were no injuries and no radiation leaks. The attack submarine, USS Atlanta, ran aground Tuesday off Gibraltar, suffering a hole in a ballast tank and smashed sonar gear in its nose. The Poseidon-class missile submarine Nathaniel Green was reportedly so badly damaged in the Irish Sea on April 1st that, according to the Washington Post, it may be scrapped after limping back to Charleston, South Carolina. Two Poseidons are due to be scrapped anyway under the unratified SALT II treaty. The Senate early today approved the nation's first 10-figure budget, calling for spending of more than $1 trillion, $13 billion in new taxes and $19 billion less than President Reagan asked for defense. Republican Budget Committee Chairman Pete Domenici called it the best budget vote since we've had a budget process. But Louisiana Democrat Bennett Johnston doesn't like its red ink.
While we're congratulating ourselves and passing this out of the Senate, just remember, you're adding about $15.7 billion to the deficit, at least.
Aboard Air Force One en route to Tokyo, presidential spokesman Larry Speaks said Mr. Reagan has serious reservations about the budget and said he would veto any budget buster. The budget now goes to the House. The Rogers Commission investigating the January 28th Challenger disaster holds a closed-door hearing in Washington today. Eric Engberg reports.
The commission will ask NASA employees and contractors involved in solid rocket booster construction why the rocket was not redesigned after repeated warnings it might fail. Commission investigators have found records indicating NASA's Marshall Propulsion Center in Alabama issued special written restrictions called launch constraints on solid rocket joints on the six shuttle flights before the last Challenger mission. The constraints were waived on all six flights. Commission members want to know why, with such warning flags flying, the shuttle kept flying and no one gave orders to redesign the joint. The commission members have also indicated they want to know why these concerns over the joint were not passed along to NASA managers responsible for deciding whether it was safe to launch. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Washington.
An unmanned Delta rocket was to have been launched from Cape Canaveral last night with a hurricane-tracking satellite, NASA's first launch since the Challenger accident. But because of a small fuel leak, it was delayed until tomorrow evening. A federal court jury in Tucson, Arizona, last night returned guilty verdicts in the closely watched Sanctuary case. David Dow has covered that trial.
The verdict came after nearly 9 days of deliberations. 8 of 11 defendants guilty. Guilty of a total of 13 charges involving the smuggling of Central American aliens. An apparent victory for the government in its most aggressive challenge yet to America's sanctuary movement. Prosecutor Donald Reno.
Justice was done.
Those convicted include 2 Catholic priests, a nun, a Presbyterian minister, and 4 lay church workers. They insisted they were acting legally and out of religious conviction, helping Guatemalan and Salvadoran refugees who faced danger if they return home. But Judge Earl Carroll ruled that their motives were irrelevant, stripping defendants such as the Reverend John Fife and Sister Darlene Nikorsky of their main arguments.
The jury did not hear the full truth.
If I am guilty of anything, I am guilty of living out the gospel.
The defendants claim that their now national sanctuary movement will keep growing, though they now face possible heavy fines and prison sentences. David Dow, CBS News, Tucson.
3 crewmen were killed today when a Saudi tanker was attacked and set afire in the Persian Gulf. Officials in Abu Dhabi blame the attack on Iranian warplanes. Philippine President Corazon Aquino has fired Manila's police chief for failing to break up violent protests by supporters of ex-President Marcos. After a defeat on economic policy, Norway's conservative government has resigned. Sweden's foreign ministry this morning expelled 5 Czech nationals, 4 of them diplomats. It accused them, in so many words, of spying. A pickup in construction jobs pushed the nation's civilian unemployment rate down 0.1 point last month to 7.1%. Manufacturing continues to suffer, with 85,000 jobs disappearing since January. The dollar surged higher today in Europe. The dollar was off $3.50 in London. And in the early going on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is up over 3 points. It's now 10 minutes past the hour.